This is some bizarre shit you guys are talking about.
So we're batting 1,000 is what you're saying?
We're 30 seconds in.
Between the two of us?
We're really just nailing it.
Nailing it, as usual.
Per the usual.
Let me get...
Some people might say we're too close. To them, I say probably, but...
Maybe. No such thing as too close.
That's not... I don't know. Okay. What are they implying?
Hello.
Welcome, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Tonight, we're tackling our third and final installment of the series on episodes in Ohio with the Dead Files episode Buried. And Amy, do you want to tell the people why we chose this episode?
I sure do. It was recommended by Cindy, our patron.
Cindy!
Hey, Cindy. And she's been with us since March of 2024.
Whoa.
So happy 2-year anniversary to Cindy.
Oh, happy 2-year anniversary,
happy,
Cindy.
Happy. We're so glad that you're one of us.
We are.
One of us.
One of us.
Content warning. We talked about drowning or murder.
Mm-hmm.
Death. Murder, death.
As opposed to the murder living.
As opposed the living to the murder murders. Life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So housekeeping, keep those recommendations coming.
Yep.
I made the spreadsheet public, so anybody should be able to edit it. And I'm trusting y'all not to fuck it up. But I do have a saved copy in case someone does. I'm sure nobody listening to us would go in and fuck with it. So I'm not going to post it in the socials anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to say you got to, you know, we'll talk about it. And then we'll post the link in the show notes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you want to come join our IG chat, please do. Just send me a DM and we will add you to the group. But
we had our first bot.
We had a little shenanigan. Either it was a creep or a scammer.
Or a bot.
Or a bot.
Either way, none of them are desired.
We had to bounce them.
Yep.
So yeah. So that's why I want everyone to DM me first. And that way I will ask, how did you find us? What's your favorite Dead Files? Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And if they can't answer the question, then they don't get in. And just a reminder to visit our Reddit.
Yeah.
Our The Activity Continues.
Yeah.
All right. That's all I got. You got anything?
That's all I got.
All right. Well, we hope you enjoy the show.
Enjoy the episode. Welcome back, everybody. Tonight, as mentioned, we are discussing Buried, and Amy is here with your overview. Take it away, Amy.
All right. In this episode of The Dead Files, Steve and Amy travel to Euclid, Ohio, a suburb just outside of Cleveland, where a single mother named Brooke says her home has been plagued by terrifying paranormal activity for years. Brooke lives in the house with her two children, Kingston, who is 9, and Novi, who is 4, and adorable.
Oh, she's precious.
They're both cute.
Let's be honest. Yes.
But holy cow.
Or Novi with her cute little hair and her little
voice.
And her little baby voice. Yeah.
Okay. Her adult daughter, Michaela, used to live there as well, but moved out because of the activity. Now, Michaela needs to move back in with her own young child, which has the family worried about whether the house is safe. The activity in the home is intense. Brooke reports shadow figures, violent physical interactions, unexplained illnesses, and even scratches appearing on her arms. Her young daughter says something has touched and tickled her feet at night, and Kingston has been telling his teachers that he sees and talks to 3 different dead children in the house. The teachers were so concerned that they actually encouraged Brooke to call the Dead Files team. During her walk, Amy encounters several disturbing entities. She sees an older, deceased couple connected to the property, but the most troubling presence is a male spirit she believes is a murderer. Amy says this spirit killed a young woman and continues to try to hide the crime, even in death, repeatedly burying her spirit in the basement to keep her quiet. The victim is trying desperately to communicate with Brooke for help, but the killer interferes whenever she tries. Amy also senses that the aggressive male spirit is targeting Kingston because the boy may have mediumistic abilities. Meanwhile, Steve digs into the property's history. He learns about early owners of the land, including John Hartman, who lived and died on the property after years of illness, and his brother Michael, who had ties to bootlegging during Prohibition. Steve also uncovers a tragic story of a teenage girl named Molly Pedelinker, who was found dead in Lake Erie in 1928 after going out on a boat with her boyfriend, who disappeared and was never found. The case was suspected to be murder, but was never solved. Steve also learns about a horrific 1908 school fire nearby that killed 172 children, the worst school fire in U.S. history. During the reveal, Amy explains that the aggressive male spirit in the house is likely the murderer she encountered on her walk, and that he is responsible for much of the frightening activity in the home. She believes the older couple on the property are harmless, but the killer's presence is causing fear and chaos, especially for Kingston. Amy recommends bringing in a male medium who is a practicing Catholic to confront and remove the killer spirit. She also suggests Brooke seek energy healing and that Kingston work with a therapist who is open to his experiences. Brooke agrees to follow Amy's recommendations in hopes of finally bringing peace to her family. Stay tuned to see if the activity continues.
Wah, wah, wah.
All right. So, I bet everybody wants to know what Steve DeShavi's name is according to the transcript this time.
I hardly slept last night.
Yeah, I bet. It's Steve DeShampa.
Sure.
I'm yep. Steve DeShampa.
Steve yeah. DeShampa.
Yeah. In case you're new here, when I make the transcript, I have Word do it. And Word is honestly the best one I've tried so far that you don't just pay separate for. I already pay for Words, but it cannot get Steve's name. It's never gotten his name right. And so it always makes up a new name for him. So I was tempted to just start calling all the episodes, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever that. Yeah, they
and in
it.
This episode, Amy and Steve DeShampa.
Yeah, that's right. All right. So they are in Euclid, Ohio. So this is a later one where mm-hmm. they actually show the client on their like submission video.
Yep.
So she is saying that she feels hopeless and it's been going on for years consistently and she needs help. And then they cut to Steve, who explains that it wasn't even her idea to reach out, that she was talked into it by two of her son's grade school teachers.
And my mouth dropped at that. I was like, mm-hmm. wow, because I don't think we've had one like this since mm-mm. or before.
I don't think so.
The only one so far. We haven't watched. I mean, Amy's watched them all, but.
Well, yeah, but I don't remember. Them
I
all
don't think we've had.
No, we've never had before because Steve even says that this has never happened before, I think.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's definitely a first is what he says.
Yeah.
And we saw season 15 because we recapped the whole season.
Yeah, we did.
So I don't think, I think this is the only one.
Brittany.
So yeah, that's kind of wild.
Yeah.
We should put that on the bingo card.
Bingo.
Bingo. And I also noticed that they didn't show Matt clearing.
They didn't.
Yeah.
But this was also in COVID, so he probably couldn't have the camera crew there.
That could be. Yep. Yep.
Because he wore a mask the whole time.
He did. Yep. I noticed that too. Yep. So Amy, the first thing she sees is this dead girl who's decomposed in a skeletal shape. And she was murdered. She wants help. The male who killed her is nearly an animal. And he's there. Anytime he comes in, she runs away.
That's horrible.
I was just thinking, it's bad enough to be murdered by somebody, but
right.
then even in death, they're still chasing you around
and tormenting you.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't even find peace. Like that's supposed to be the peace is, well, at least you're dead. Like even if you're, but now they're not. So
nope.
I will say Brooke looks like Danica McKellar from.
Is she the one from Wonder Years?
Yeah, she's the she's the big Hallmark girl now.
Yeah,
she's
yeah.
in a lot of the. Yeah, she looks like they could be sisters or cousins.
I could see that. Yeah, they're both the dark hair.
The dark hair, the face shape, the their mouth was the same shape. Their eyes are like they look very similar.
Hmm.
I kept wanting to say Danica. Who's the race car driver?
Yeah, I know. When you said Danica McKellar in the notes, I was like, is that the race car driver? Or is that the Wonder Years?
No, that's who I kept thinking of. I couldn't think of. Now I can't think of Danica.
I can't
the
think
race
of her
car driver's
either.
Last name either. But
someone's yelling it.
It is probably AP. But that's why I had to look her up because I knew Danica. Nope, I thought I had it. Erickson is Erickson right?
I don't think so.
I don't know. That's not right.
Let's just do a quick googs. Danica race Patrick.
Ah, there it is. Yeah, I
Tanika
kept,
Patrick.
yeah, and it was not, I'm like, that's not right.
Yeah.
So
Anyway,
we got a
also we
hanky.
have a hanky.
Hanky
So if
bingo.
check that off your mango card if you've got
Yep.
it. And yes, yeah, so she talks about all this stuff. We don't have to go through all the
Yeah.
minutia. But anyway, she shows picture of her family. The whole family is beautiful. I mean,
Uh-huh.
her daughter, stunning.
Yeah.
They're all just gorgeous
Uh-huh.
people.
Yeah.
So she's 23, Michaela. And
Which is the daughter.
yeah, that's her daughter, her
Who's
older
gonna move
daughter,
in? Yeah, her
right, with
oldest
her
daughter who's
kid.
moving back in with her. I think they said 2-year-old daughter.
Yeah, I think they did. And then Kingston is 9, that's the boy. And then Novi is 4. She's the
Yep.
little one who doesn't appear. She's not interviewed or anything on the episode, but they do have a video of her that mom has taken at some point, and they show it to Steve, and then later they show it to Amy too.
Yeah.
So she's not actually on the show, but she kind of is.
Yeah, it's like a cameo.
That's
Yeah.
right. Yeah, she probably didn't have, a SAG card or whatever, so she couldn't.
That they yeah, she it's in the mail. It hadn't gotten there yet.
They do show the little video of Novi, and she says that something touched her feet while she was laying on her mommy's bed,
Yeah.
and she said it tickled and touched her feet. Yeah.
'Cause like touching, you could maybe brush it off as like, well, it was the sheet or a piece of clothing or the dog or your boozing, as a 4-year-old.
She's probably not boozing,
She's
but
probably not,
I
but
mean, who
if
knows?
it's tickling, that's intentional.
Yeah, that does seem intentional. This is when Brooke is talking about how Kingston sees the dead children, and he
At school.
at school, and he's telling his teachers,
Yeah.
and they then
Uh-uh.
told them, yeah.
Because how many times have we heard that negative entities or demons present themselves as children? Nope.
No, thank
Don't
you.
like it.
Nope.
I would like to unsubscribe from that, please. Thank you. How do I click cancel?
Yeah. So Brooke is talking about headaches. I don't know if they're woodpecker headaches,
Yeah.
but they
To,
are
I mean,
headaches.
to be fair, I think all headaches are a woodpecker of a headache. It's just
Yeah.
how, sev like,
How
is it
severe.
like a baby woodpecker or is it like a
Yeah.
big daddy woodpecker? Like,
Right.
where
Are
it's
we
like
talking a
the,
downy or are we talking, yeah.
yeah, like a big other
Yeah,
type of
I
woodpecker. I
can't
don't
think of the
know.
other one.
No.
We get. I was just.
Red-headed woodpecker.
Yeah, like Woody. Woody. Woody.
Okay,
Yeah.
now I gotta look up. Is red-headed woodpecker a thing?
I think it is. Yes, but I
It
was
is.
just
Yes.
yellow-bellied sapsucker. That's the one that is not even called a woodpecker, but it is a woodpecker.
That sounds like the best insult from the 1800s.
You yellow-bellied sapsucker.
Yeah, doesn't it? Doesn't
I
it?
don't even, this picture doesn't even have a yellow belly. I'm in my Merlin app.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And
I just
yeah, we.
Googled red-headed woodpecker and it was not the one that I was thinking of, but they
Oh.
do exist.
Yeah. Was it the yellow belly sapsucker? Because that one is a redhead.
No.
It does. Look, it has
I
a red
think I
belly.
was thinking of the downy woodpecker. Oh, wait. Hang on. Nope, I was not thinking of that. Yellow. Now I've got to look it up.
Here's the red-bellied woodpecker.
Yes, I was thinking of the yellow-bellied sapsucker.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then there's a hairy woodpecker. His name's Harry.
I dated that guy in college.
He hairy?
Yes.
Anyway, that was
Anyways,
our first side quest. Let's talk about woodpeckers for a while. Anyway, she mentions the headaches, and I'm thinking, could this be like long
Sure.
COVID?
Yeah.
You know?
Also affecting health, another bingo card.
Bingo. Yep.
Yep.
Amy says something about I made a note about how she said panic attacks.
Massive panic, like almost panic attacks.
Panic attacks.
Yeah. Very, yeah, it
That was
was very
funny.
Brooklyn.
Yeah. And yeah, and then she was going like this, and my notes
No,
say, now that's
yeah.
a woodpecker
Yeah,
of a
there's the
headache.
headache. Yep.
Yeah. Okay, so now we do have to put this on the bingo card. You mentioned when Brooke is talking about how she was walking through the living room and had her purse on her shoulder and something grabbed the purse strap and
Like pulled her.
yeah.
And it
And then
was really
Steve.
funny because Steve is like, show me. And she's like, are you sure?
Are you sure?
And he goes, oh, okay, that was pretty hard. I'm like,
Yeah.
fucking, she told you.
She warned
But
you.
yeah, show me is a bingo card. Like, show
Yeah.
me what happened. And
Yeah.
then,
Client shows Steve
how
we'll
they
figure out
were
how to,
touched or whatever.
yeah, we'll workshop that.
But it was really funny because he was like, she was like, "Are you sure?" It was
Yeah.
hard. And he's like, "Yeah." And
Are you sure? I'm pretty strong.
she's like, "I'm basically like a gladiator."
Yeah. Then Brooke talks about how she was giving her daughter a bath and she felt like a burning acid feeling on her arms. And she looked and she had all these scratches. These are deep
Yeah,
scratches.
these are like last episode we talked about like cat scratches and how those
Yeah.
look. I would say these look like cat scratches.
They do because they're puffy like that. I
Yeah,
mean,
they're
there
deep,
obviously
they're
wasn't a cat.
angry.
Yeah.
She wasn't boozing.
Were you boozing?
No, she wasn't boozing.
But yeah, they are very prominent. Whereas the ones last episode were, they almost look healed, like you had said. But yeah, these were
And
fresh.
I also thought that I don't remember if it was that one. It was
It
on
was
someone's
that one.
cheek where I said it kind of looked like a rash.
Oh, yeah, because
And
that
then
was the zipper
Steve
one.
goes, yeah, I think that was. I think that was at least 2 ago.
Two
And
ago,
Steve
yeah.
goes, "Oh, those are definitely scratches. That ain't a rash or anything." I was like, "Hey, the ones I just saw look like that." All right. And then let's see. The next note we have is Amy, when she's going through, she sees the dead woman.
She's trying to talk, and she said twalk.
Walk. Trying to talk, and then she.
Say talk. She said twalk.
Talk.
She's
Yeah,
very Brooklyn. She's very New York this time.
she did. She threw in a few accents.
Yeah,
And
she did.
I
I'm
don't
here
know.
for it.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that she's channeling somebody, but I think she just does that sometimes. I do too. I'll just throw an accent in there sometimes. I do that a lot. So shit's probably just what she does. And it's not like she's, I mean, all these ghosts that were in this house were, Midwestern ghosts, so they're not going to be like,
They're not going to be like twak. They're going to be like, oh, yeah. Oh, for
maybe,
sure.
yeah, exactly. Oh, geez, like the
Oh,
lady
geez, I
last week.
killed
Oh,
her.
geez.
Oh, shoot. Oh, golly. Oh, no. What am I going to do?
Yeah,
Shoot.
so all these ghosts would probably be Midwestern, unless maybe she had, had drinks with Steve the night before and the Brooklyn
Oh,
accent's
probably.
still in her head.
That could be.
Yeah, because those guys hung out all the time. They were
Yeah, they
besties,
did.
right?
Probably
We're just
best
kidding.
friends.
We know they're
They were the two best friends that ever did. I don't know that the rest of that song. I just know that.
Oh.
And I think it's three best friends.
Oh, I thought you just made it up.
No, it's a song from somewhere. I think
Oh,
the
okay.
Three Amigos, maybe. I don't know.
Oh.
Never seen that movie. So, tangent number
Okay.
two.
I've seen one version of it, but anyway.
With Steve Martin and Martin Short.
Michaela, now we meet Michaela. Michaela. Now we meet Michaela. God damn. I haven't had
Guys,
anything to
it's
drink
not
last
even,
night.
we're recording earlier than we normally, like it's not even that late. It's
No,
6:30.
it's 6:30. It's
And
fine.
it's a daylight savings time. So technically for our bodies, it's 5:30.
That's right.
So
Yeah. That's right. Anyway,
because
you noted that she's
Michaela's
gorgeous.
gorgeous. Yeah,
She
not
is. She
related
really
to
is.
anything, but she is
No,
gorgeous.
but just this whole
Also,
family.
Steve's Brooklyn come out because when he's talking to Michaela, he goes, "So take me through the experiences you had. Take me true."
Take me true. Oh, I like that. Take me true. Take me true.
Take me true. Take me dear. Take me there. Take me here.
Okay. So Michaela
Michaela's
wakes
taking
up.
him true.
She's taking him true that she wakes up and she's completely paralyzed. Good old sleep
I
paralysis. We get that a
hate
lot. It's
sleep paralysis. I abhor it.
Really scary.
Especially because, like, for me, I can't even open my eyes. Some people can open their eyes. I can't. And I'm
Really.
everything I'm trying and I can't open it because I know if I could open my eyes, that would break it and I'd be able to move, but I can't move and
Or
I
you
can't
open
open
your
my
eyes and you
eyes.
see the hat man standing at the foot of your bed. I
I
mean,
just,
I
I
don't know if
hate,
it's better or worse to be
I,
able to
that's
see all that.
fair. Yeah. I don't know. I hate sleep paralysis though.
It's scary. Have you ever seen the movie What Lies Beneath? I think that's what it's
A
called.
long time ago with Harrison Ford. That was a good movie.
Talk about sleep paralysis. She wasn't asleep, but that
That was a
movie,
good movie.
terrifying. And that's all I'm going to say. I don't want to spoil too much, but terrifying.
The ending, I did not see that coming. That was a
Oh
good ending
boy.
for me. It
Yeah.
was good. Go
It
see
was
it.
good. It was good.
Finish our episode and then go
And
watch What
then go
Lies
watch What
Beneath.
Lies Beneath. Yeah. It's a good one. So then Steve says, "Were you on any kind of medication or anything like that?" And I'm like, "Here we go.
Here
Here
we
we go."
go. Oh my
And
God.
then
And
he
then
goes,
he.
"You've been taking any weed?" Steve.
He's hip. That's how we take
Super
the
hip.
weed. Take the weed. Where do we take it, Steve?
Right in the mouth.
Right in a whoa. Yeah. That's where I take my weed. I talk him through it.
So then, they do a drone shot of the neighborhood, and they zoom in on the house. I'm like, well, at least they're getting some usage out of that drone they got from Santa this year.
That's when they really started, because season 15 was drone galore.
Yeah, it was.
And this was the end of season 14.
Yep.
It,
Yep.
so we drones here, drones everywhere is a drone. Like
Yeah.
the fucking drones and slow motion shots of Steve.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I wonder who directed the episodes.
I wonder. I always it'd be interesting to look and see if the same people that like when we notice a certain style, if it's the same director. If so, then we're good at that.
Yeah, we're so good. Call us Hollywood.
That's right. So now we are talking to Kingston. He's talking
Who's
about the three people.
and he and Novi look exactly alike
They're
in my
very
I
cute.
thought they and they're very cute. And
Yeah.
he's so nervous.
He did seem nervous.
So
Yeah, he's
nervous,
out
and he
in the yard and he's like kind of swinging
swinging
the
his
swing
swing
back and
set, and
forth.
I don't think he w I he almost seemed afraid to tell them.
Yeah. Oh, I think he was. And it felt like Steve was kind of pulling teeth a little bit. Like, come on, it's okay to tell me.
But it makes me wonder if whatever he's seen told him, like, you can't tell people this or something bad will
Yeah.
happen,
That
because
could be.
he bare and at one point he says, and that's all I'm gonna say
Yes,
about
he just
that.
shuts the interview down. And that's all I gotta say about that. I'm like,
He's
oh,
so
take
and
off the
he's
mic,
only
throw the mic and
nine.
leave. I know.
So
I
that
was wondering if maybe he was afraid to say anything because he gets bullied. But the fact
maybe.
that maybe the spirits are telling him
Or
to buck up
both.
is possible. Yeah, it could be both. He felt comfortable enough with his teachers to tell them because if he hadn't, none of this might have happened. So I'm glad he was brave enough or felt safe enough with them to tell
Me too.
them.
That's a good, those are good teachers right
Yeah,
there.
they were.
They were
We meet
very
them
good.
later. They were very nice
You can
ladies.
tell they cared.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
So Steve asks him what he wants them to do, and he said, "I want to get back to being a playful boy." And it makes me
Yeah.
think that somebody either said that to him or he overheard it, because what 9-year-old is like, "I'm going to be a playful boy."
I think it did sound kind of funny. And I wondered if somebody had said, like, you used to be such a playful boy or something like that.
Probably before
Yeah.
they've kind of figured out, like, what's the matter, Kingston? You used to be such a playful little boy, and now you
Yeah.
don't, so
Yeah.
harmless, but I still think he heard it somewhere.
Yeah. It does seem like a weird thing you'd say about
Not a
yourself
negative
at
thing.
nine. No.
It's just, I just am remarking on it.
Yeah.
I just feel so bad for everybody.
Yeah. And he does say that I just want to be playing with Legos, watching TV, eat a lot. And play with my friends. And I was like, that sounds pretty good. I mean,
One thing that I thought was interesting is Steve said, "You want to go back to, having a normal life and not seeing people that anybody else sees, right?" And K Kingston goes, "Yep, and that's all I can tell you." So that's what makes me think,
yeah, you're
like,
right. I bet you. I
could there
bet you.
be
Or somebody
something?
might have been whispering in his ear right at that moment, going, shut up, shut up, shut up. You're saying too much.
Don't say anything, or I'll hurt your sister, or I'll hurt your mom, or I'll hurt your
Yep.
niece,
Yep.
because Michaela's daughter's moving in and she's
That's
two.
right. Yeah.
So I
That's a
definitely
good
think that
point.
it was not him controlling that narrative
Right. I think you're
fully.
right. Yeah, I think you're right. Well, Amy then goes into Kingston's room. She sees the same kinds of things. She sees this killer. And he's scratching at the door. And there's a black mist that rolls through. And
Don't
it's
like that.
about to her armpit.
So about Kingston's height.
Yeah. And she says it's acting like I'm gonna fucking take your ass out. And this person is scared. Yes, of course, because he's a 9-year-old playful boy. So we do meet the teachers now. The flash screen says that it's Ms. Epstein and Mrs. Jankowicz, Kingston's teachers, but it doesn't say who's who. So we got teacher one and teacher two. Just like the remodelers
Which
from
I thought was
the
kind of
episodes ago.
rude. Like, why wouldn't you?
I'm surprised he didn't just say, like, oh,
Or like
hey,
address him, like, all
girl.
right, Miss Epstein, like, what has he said to you? And again, maybe they did and they cut it in editing, but
That's what I was thinking, because I feel like they would have said something, but it seems like a weird thing to cut. If any editors of the Dead Files are out there listening to this, come on the
Can you
show. I want to
explain?
go, why the hell do you cut these things? I mean, I sound like I'm reprimanding, and I guess I kind of am, but I am curious about why things get cut that seems like we should be able to see that. And I get that it's time, time constraints, but I feel like also there are things left in that make no sense.
Like a drone shot? We could have cut a drone
I could
shot
have
and
cut a
gotten
drone shot.
names.
We could have. And there were some other things in here that I don't even know why they were brought up.
Because they were never addressed.
And I get why they happened, why Steve investigated and these things came out. I just don't get how it made it to the final edit when it didn't have anything to do with anything. And we'll get to that, but there's a few things that I'm like, why did you even mention that? Anyway. So here's where Steve tells the teachers, well, Kingston said, if they do leave, then I could get my life back to normal, which is not exactly what Kingston said. He said he wanted to be a
He's
playboy.
paraphrasing.
And the teacher said that to me makes me feel like it's right now, like it's bothering him a lot. Like it's really weighing heavy on him. He's struggling.
Thank God for Kingston saying that, or we would not have any idea.
Digging through the archives.
Okay, so now we're digging through. I just saw your note. Okay, so in as Steve is in the car, and I wrote, I'm sorry, but Steve's looking kind of hottie bobbity with the salt and pepper goatee.
No, he's
And
not.
I put a picture of him in our notes to show to Megan, and then she put in the picture of the squirt bottle that just says no.
Yes.
That's the squirt bottle.
Yes.
So I
No.
got squirted for saying Steve was a
You're
hottie.
wrong. Absolutely
He looks
not.
cute.
Okay. Well, that's cool. I mean, that's, you know what? Hey, why
I
not?
didn't say he's a fantastic
Yeah,
human. I
you
just said he
did.
looked kind of cute.
You actually texted me and said you were thinking of leaving Greg for Steve.
For Steve DeShavi,
For Steve
DeChampley, or whatever
DeChampa.
the fuck his name is today.
You were like, I'm moving to Florida. I'm renouncing all of my values.
Oh my God, that's how you know I really lost
You're like, I'm gonna get a gun tattoo.
it.
That's what she texted me, guys. I
She's got
cry
the
for help.
receipts.
Let's cry for help. We also had another ring shot, our second ring shot here.
We did. Bingo card. And then
Bingo.
also, he's going to talk to somebody who is a genealogist.
Not a gynecologist.
That's right. And you know who it is? You know who it is? It's Mary
It's Mary
Jamba
Jamba
of
from the
Jamba
Jamba
Juice.
Juice portion.
Yeah, so we.
Honestly, we don't know if she's from. We're just making that up
No, we just
because
made
her
that
last
up.
name is
It's
Jamba, but
Jamba. And we
she's
both made the
changed.
same joke about her being not, we forgot to do it in the actual other episode, but it'd be 2 episodes ago by the time you guys hear this because it's the one that just came out a couple days ago in our world.
In our world.
It is Tangled Vines and Tar Water is the one that Mary Jamba Juice was in the first time.
And she's blonde now, and she was a
Yeah,
brunette.
she was. And she was previously called a historian, and now she's a genealogist.
You
So
know, maybe she went back to school.
maybe she did. Or, we just, I mean, a historian and genealogist are not that different.
Not that different.
Anyway.
Anyways, so she's
Anyway.
back. She's
So
back.
she's back. She's talking about these two brothers, Michael and John Hartman, that bought 3 lots
No
right where the
relation to
client's
Phil.
property is. No, no, I don't
No.
think so.
Oh, probably
Possible.
not.
They were planning to move there with their mom, who had been widowed, and things don't go the way
No.
that they plan. They are immigrants from Transylvania,
Sure.
which is the Catholic region of Romania.
Which they should move to the town where nobody's died.
That's right, the vampire town.
The vampire town, because they're from Transylvania.
That's right.
There I am explaining my joke again. And that's how you know it's funny.
Well, Romania stuck in my head because that's where, in my other podcast, Volstead Land, that's where Kid Can came from. Is Romania, not from
Saw.
Transylvania, but from
No.
Romania. And then 2 sentences later, we find out that one of these dudes was a bootlegger. However, not here in Ohio. He moved to Indiana. So then she shows this article about him about him being caught as a bootlegger. Uh-huh. And she calls, they call him a janitor. She said truck driver, but the article says that he was a truck driver and he advanced to be the head janitor at this library, I think it was.
Good for him. Climbing that corporate ladder.
Yeah.
One rung at a time.
Yeah, that's right. But I'm like, why did they bring this up if it happened in Indiana? Didn't happen here. Why would a ghost come to haunt the home he lived in for only a very short time after he lived the rest of his life and died in Indiana? Why would he be haunting a house in Ohio?
I don't know.
That's another question for Amy.
Oh,
Allen.
My gosh. It was published March 7th. That's yesterday.
Oh.
19. Oh, what did it say? I can't tell the year, but 1908.
I can blow it
up. Is that when he was arrested? 1930.
Yeah, it would have been during the Prohibition. So
he was arrested March, or this article was published March 7th, 1930. Wow. And it's currently March 8th, 2026.
Yep. That's right. Cool.
Crazy.
Amy Allen is talking to somebody and she says, there's something really strange about this killer guy. He's afraid of Catholicism. Mm-hmm. And I wrote, me too, my guy.
And I'm like, who isn't?
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with Catholicism. It's the zealots that.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
of
as
any
it
religion.
Always is. Yeah, exactly.
Any religion.
Yeah, believe what you want. That's
Protestant,
whatever.
Catholicism,
fine,
whatever. Yeah. It's the zealots that make it a problem. They're the ones that ruin it for everybody.
That's right.
And then she also said that he's mentally ill. And I'm like, I mean, again, who isn't? Like, let's be real. So.
All right. And then they talk about
his brother John, who stayed on the property.
Yeah. Yep. And he had a kind of a rough life. He had a wife. She came down with severe pneumonia. She was only 27 years old when she died. And they show her certificate, but they don't say her name, or if they did, they cut it. So I'm just going to say her name is Susanna.
Oh, don't you cry for me.
Oh, Susanna. And then they talk
Alabama,
about his.
The banjo on my knee. I'm sorry.
It wouldn't be an episode if Megan wasn't singing.
It's look, if I stop, then that's when you need to be like, oh my God, are you okay?
That's right.
They said her name so weird. Johanna. She must have been German.
Yeah. Maybe. It's because it's spelled with a J, but
it is spelled and it maybe. Yeah. Johanna.
I say Johanna. And she's the one that signed the death certificate.
Yep.
And when Mary says that this is the guy that died on the property in 1950, I was like, well, this must be who Amy sees. Mm-hmm. Though I don't think that either one of these brothers is a killer. And
I don't think that's who she sees based off of the next story.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think either. I mean, if the only one who's there, I think, is John. I don't think Michael's there.
No, I don't think Michael's there either.
I think John is there because he died and then Johanna died later. So that's who I think she sees, one of the males she sees, because she sees the couple.
She
so
does.
I think it's John and Johanna, but not the killer.
Right. Well, then Amy talks about this couple that she sees and she goes, I think they're hiding in the closet. Mm-hmm. I'm like, come on. More closet?
Yeah.
So put that
closet
on the bingo card.
Yep.
Closet bingo. Closet. That's where you sit in the closet and just play.
Just sit, Bing. Yeah,
I found a shoe. That's
you got your little headlamp on to see the to see it, and you got your dauber.
Yep.
Very serious closet bingo.
Yeah,
we don't fuck around with it. Like no.
So next we meet Lou Hebert, who is Steve's buddy. He's
best
probably
friends.
Been on the show before because he says,
he's like, it's good to
my
see
old
you
friend.
Again.
Yeah,
yeah.
Got a call from my old friend. And that name sounds familiar. So I think he has been on another episode.
I'm sure he has.
All
I mean,
the other Ohio
at least
ones.
We've done two other ones in Ohio. So I'm sure there were more.
Oh, there's a ton.
You said there were a ton.
There were like eight that we hadn't covered yet as of last week.
Yeah.
And there are some that we have covered already a long time ago. So they did a lot in Ohio.
Yeah.
Ohio is a pretty haunted place.
Again, like, what's that band name? Oh, my God. Bowling for Soup said there's nothing wrong with Ohio. Oh. So I'm sorry, you guys. I have to say it.
When you said you were talking about another song and you said it was Bowling for Soup, it wasn't. It was Fountains of Wayne. Whatever song that was. Stacey's Mom.
Oh, I thought
that was Fountains of Wayne.
Oh,
I did too, but I looked it up just to make sure. I looked it up just to make sure. And then I made a correction in the episode.
Nice. Appreciate that.
Anyway, yeah. So
it happens very rarely that I am wrong.
That's true.
This is my time for the year, so I'm glad we got it out of the way early.
Yeah. Yep. So Lou talks about Molly Pedelinker. She was 15 years old at the time. She was born and raised in Euclid. She was dating a guy by the name of John Bacay, and he was 7 years her senior, 22 years old. And I said, oh, that's not legal.
But it was 1920s. I mean, they don't, 1915. Wait, when was it?
1928.
Yeah. So, but, I mean, it still could have been illegal, but it was done. It wasn't frowned on like it is now.
It was done. It was done. It was illegal. I got a little bit more on that. Okay. Morgan wrote me something about it. We'll get to that in the R&R section. So, so this is the story of this couple, John and Molly, and they were right there on Euclid Beach, and they show that little area, like the two guys are walking down the little boardwalk. It's kind of cute. It looks like a cute little area.
Yeah.
And they took a rowboat out onto the lake. And a few hours later, the rowboat comes back to the beach and it's overturned.
And
they don't find them. 2 weeks later, they do find her body. She was wrapped in a fisherman's line. Mm-hmm. And they determined it was her, but they never found John. It was presumed that he had drowned as well. And then they showed a picture. Mm-hmm. And then Steve asked, when did they start to think this was a murder? And Molly's sister got a letter expressing sympathy and some guilt over Molly's death. Mm-hmm. And it's signed by a fictitious author. And so
but
they decided to
reopen
a case.
But how do they know it's a, like, that was weird. Like, how do they know it's fictitious?
I don't know. He didn't really get into it, or it was cut.
Or it was cut.
And I'm really curious about this story. Mm-hmm. I could not find anything on this, so I don't have any extra news for you.
Yeah.
But I asked in my notes section here, are we going to just like not even talk about the fact that she doesn't have a death certificate? We don't know the cause of death. Like, there's, does she have a bonk on her head? Mm-hmm. And you said, well, she obviously drowned. They said that many times.
Yeah.
But did they know that by checking her lungs, or did they, was she just, they just thought because they took her out of the water and she's dead that she drowned?
I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know.
Good questions. And like you said, did she have anything else on her body? She must not. Well, even if she did, though, like if she had a bonk on her head, they could think, well, maybe she fell out of the rowboat.
Sure.
Bonked her head, knocked unconscious. John tried to save her. He drowned and
swept under.
That's what happens.
It's weird that his body wouldn't come back, though. So I kind of think he did escape.
Yeah, I think he killed her and had a new life somewhere.
Or she died, you know, it was an accident and he was too scared and he took off.
But given what we get in the reveal, I think he killed her.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
If that's who Amy saw. Yeah.
Yes.
So at one point, Amy, she's talking about how he keeps reburying this lady. Amy says he left her outside and she rotted really quick. He killed her and he thinks nobody knows about it. But he just keeps burying her and burying her. And all I hear from him is stay dead, stay dead, stay dead.
Yeah.
And then we have another ring shot when Steve
have a lot of those.
I know. Steve's getting ready to go talk to James Bedell.
Uh-huh.
And he talks about,
this guy's voice is so deep.
I don't remember his voice.
It was very, very deep.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got a very 1850s mustache.
Mustache. He's got a very particular look. He's got the
memorable
gray, long gray hair and the big bushy mustache that goes down.
Isn't that called a Fu Manchu? Or does
I
that
think
go
the
all
Fu Manchu
the way down?
Has the bottom too.
The bottom. Okay.
Yeah, it's like, and it goes down long.
Yeah.
A long pointy beard. This guy doesn't have a beard. Quick correction here, because I fact checked myself after recording and Megan was right, I was wrong. I said a Fu Manchu mustache included a beard, and that is not correct. A Fu Manchu is just the mustache, no beard involved. If you need a visual, picture Sam Elliott. That's the vibe.
Oh, this was a rough history.
Yeah. The school was built in 1901, and 300 to 350 children were distributed among nine classrooms.
Nine classrooms.
That's a lot of kids per classroom.
That's so many kids.
Yeah.
That's more than 35, because out of 10 classrooms, it would have been 35. So that's like 37 kids a classroom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and I'm like, of all ages, oh my God, that would have been horrific. Because they don't even have a classroom for each grade.
Right.
They don't even have them for one. I mean, they don't even have 12.
No. They, yeah. They used to do it that way.
Oh, my God.
They weren't not. They no.
Yeah, they'd all be in one room.
Yeah. One room schoolhouse.
Yep.
Well, this was a 9-room schoolhouse.
Gross.
And it was
350 kids.
Right. And it was 1908. And a 14-year-old girl went to the bathroom and she saw, walking down the stairway, she saw a little wisp of smoke. Mm-hmm. And so she called the janitor and he went into one of the classrooms and pulled the fire alarm. And the janitor opened the doors at both sides of the building.
Mm-mm. Yep. Which gave air, which fueled the fire.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And the entire interior of the school was wood.
Yep.
And so, as Steve said, it turned into a big chimney. He said,
yep.
Yep. And there was a second factor involved.
Yep.
The interior was made of Georgia pine.
Yep.
And the janitor kept it clean and nice looking by using oil, which is an accelerant. So.
So bad, bad, bad. We're starting off strong here, guys.
Right. When then the pressure in the fire hydrants was low.
Yep.
And so they didn't have the ladders
reach
that were
the third. It wouldn't even reach the third floor.
Yeah.
So the only floors that they were working on that they could put out was the first floor.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was only one fire escape in mm-hmm. the entire building of 350 mm-hmm. kids plus teachers.
Mm-hmm.
One.
And Steve asked about that in a building that big. And the guy says, well, originally the builder wanted to use three, but the school board balked at the cost.
Yep. It's like the lifeboats in the Titanic. They didn't want more lifeboats because it would take up space for guests to walk on board.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I said, typical America, we are so reactive. We are not proactive.
No.
We are very reactive. And that just doesn't refer to now. That refers to throughout time.
Yeah.
We're just a reactive country.
If there's money involved.
Yes.
It's going to be done the cheap way.
Yeah.
By people who are taking other people's lives into their own hands.
They even had footage of the fire.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like
it
video
was horrific.
It was weird.
Yeah.
I was surprised. And so 172 children were killed, two teachers, and one would-be rescuer.
And 19 of them were burned so bad they couldn't even recognize them. Steve said these kids never had a chance, and they didn't.
Mm-mm.
They didn't.
No.
Because they wanted to save a buck.
Yep.
And how many? 172, nine. So 180 people died because they wanted to save money.
Yeah. You've done math twice so far.
Stop it.
I'm really impressed.
I thank you. I didn't even need to use my fingers.
I didn't even check to see if you're right or not. I don't care.
Just new.
Yeah.
I'm smart, everybody.
I know. So, yeah, James does say this was the worst school fire in American history.
Mm-hmm.
And spoiler alert for research and rabbit holes, it still is. I looked it up. It still is.
Yeah. The determined cause of fire was an overheated steam pipe too close to a wooden joist.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what any of those words mean, but that is what.
Well, the steam pipe's probably in the basement.
What's a joist?
A joist is a wall, a piece of a wall that usually it's like a almost like a joint. So it'd be like two pieces of wood that come together, I guess.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to jump in here and correct myself again because it turns out I was absolutely talking out of my ass. I thought I knew what a joist was. I even had a mental picture. But when I tried to explain it, I realized I had no idea what I was talking about. So I fact checked it. Wood joists are essential horizontal structural members in residential and commercial construction, primarily used to support floors, ceilings, and decks. When you run a steam pipe near wooden joists, you're supposed to allow for expansion and keep the heat from damaging the wood. So yeah, I was wrong. Thank you, Internet and ChatGPT, for setting me straight.
Nice. Look at you. Look, you're an engineer. I'm a mathematician. This is the episode where our careers change.
Yeah. I mean, maybe.
Look out, Greg. Amy, the engineer, is coming for your job.
I'm going to be an engineer.
I honestly could not tell you what he does. I just know he engineers stuff.
Well, he actually is not an engineer anymore. That's what he went to school for, and that's what he did for a long time, but he's a project manager now.
Oh. See, I would have failed that, and guess about Greg.
Good thing we're not playing that game.
That's for tomorrow, and I'll study hard.
Okay.
Yeah.
They did not use the same sketch artist that they did for the last two that we did, but this one is a woman, and she's cute, and she's wearing a very cute jaunty cap.
It's a very Newsies cap.
Yes.
She looks very much like a newsie. She's
Like
got a
19,
cap,
she's gonna
like
start
a.
singing and dancing pretty soon.
Yes! Stop it. She's gonna go to Santa Fe, where her dreams will come true.
Yeah.
It's a good
Good
song. That's
movie.
a good. Oh my God, I love that movie.
So then we're at the reveal.
Do you hate ads? You might want to consider joining us over on Patreon. Tiers start at $3 a month, but all tiers get equal access with perks such as ad-free episodes that drop earlier than the public release, virtual happy hours where we swap ghost stories face-to-face, and other exclusive content like behind-the-scenes stuff, extras like bingo cards, and bloopers and outtakes too. Join our tight-knit, witchy-cool community that actually gets your paranormal memes. Creep on over to patreon.com/theactivitycontinues. We hope to see you in the Haunted Lounge. Have you ever wanted to sip on something that tastes like a potion and feels like a spell without waking up to a haunted inbox of regret the next day? Yeah, us too. That's why we're still obsessed with Three Spirit, our favorite line of plant-based non-alcoholic elixirs. These drinks are not your average just add bubbles mocktails. No, ma'am. These are mood-shifting, spirit-lifting, botanically enhanced brews made by actual plant nerds, bar wizards, and maybe a forest witch or two. Whether you're conjuring courage for a social gathering, chilling out with your spirit guides, or just vibing solo while listening to a paranormal podcast, like, I don't know, this one, there's a blend for you. You can get 15% off your first order with our link. Just head to 3spiritdrinks.com and use code THEACTIVITYCONTINUES at checkout. So raise your glass or your cauldron and drink to your health, your spirits, and maybe even the activity continues.
So then we're at the reveal.
Yep.
Da, 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 da. And I was like, oh my God, Amy's on COVID cam.
COVID cam.
We haven't seen one of these in a long time. She's on the screen. She's in another room to, what does he say? To focus on the dead and your case and, without any distractions. I'm like, why even lie about it?
Because it's not real, Amy.
I know.
God.
COVID's not
real. You don't even know. How are you going to, you're going to have to learn these when you marry him. Because he's going to want to talk about this.
Oh, Steve. Yeah. I don't know.
I love her eyeliner in this, when in her reveal. Like, she's got, like, bright, like, iridescent eyeliner.
Yeah.
Her hair's on point.
Her hair. It's like, regular color on the top, but the bottom, maybe 3 or 4 inches, is a really pretty shade of, like, dark, dark teal.
Yeah.
And it matches her shirt. It's kind of greenish. It's
so stylish.
I love it.
Yeah.
So cute.
Yeah.
All right. So we're this reveal. We already know, blah, blah, blah. They talk about the Hartmans. Mm-hmm. And I think what Amy is saying, this could be the, this is the man and the wife. If Steve thinks that this is the man and the wife.
John and Johanna.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then now she wants to talk about the murderer and one of his victims. Mm-hmm. She's a female, decomposed.
Yep.
So, oh, that's in Brooke's room that she sees
yep.
her. And then Amy goes, she's trying to get help from you, she says to Brooke. And the reason why is because you're sensitive, but you've really shut that down. And you can see, Brooke, I tried to get a screenshot.
Yeah.
But she's just like, ugh, I knew it. You know, she doesn't say that, but she gets that look on her face.
Not this again.
And I know. And Amy's like, sorry.
Yeah.
You know.
Bingo card. One, somebody in the reveals are sensitive.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So she says, yeah, she's trying to talk to you.
Yeah.
And the killer guy does not want the dead girl to talk. The dead girl's trying to get help moving on.
Yeah.
And she wants her story told.
Yeah.
And that is feeding on Brooke's anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Amy says Brooke is feeling the ghost anxiety and is bringing up her anxiety. So then she talks a little bit more about her anxiety. And then Amy says that this ghost like touches her face, caresses her, is trying to get her attention, but not, you know, in a scary way or anything.
Yeah.
And Brooke talks about when it grabbed her purse. And then Steve goes, I asked her to demonstrate on me and got news for you. It's pretty hard.
And Amy's like, pretty hard. And he goes, yeah, I'm 220 pounds. She pulled me.
She pulled me. So then they talk about the scratches and she says she wonders if that's the lady. And she says, no, that's probably the killer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
because it doesn't seem like the lady wants to hurt her. She wants to get her attention
by being like, she's
and the killer's trying
face.
To scare
she's,
her.
Right.
And that's the scratches. Yeah.
Right. And then Steve asks about, you know, Novi, the little mm-hmm. girl, and they show there the video. And Steve says, would that be the killer? And Amy says, no, that's probably the female.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
if she's just tickling, that's, yeah. I mean, it's not terribly.
See, and again, that's where, you know, we've said this multiple times. People always think that it's bad and dangerous, me included. But it's really not always the case. Like, yeah. this woman is trying to just get someone to listen to her, to help her.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we're afraid of what we don't know. So.
Yep. Yep. So this is where I get confused. Because okay. she's talking about this killer guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a deep fear of Catholicism. And mm-hmm. he might have some type of government job, like a mailman or something. And that's when Steve goes, I think you're talking about the brother of John Hartman, who is Michael,
mm-hmm.
who is not even the one that ever lived there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't the murderer John McKay the one that, yeah. But that's... when he said, when I'm thinking that, and then Steve's like, you know, I think it could be this guy, but he wasn't a killer.
Mm-hmm.
And Amy goes, well, he kept it secret.
Mm-hmm.
And all the boxes are coming together with him. So Amy is saying it's Michael, this guy who never even lived there or didn't live there very long.
Yeah.
Amy doesn't think it's John Bacay because everybody thought John Bacay killed Molly anyway. She thinks it's this other guy who we don't really know that much about him except that he was a bootlegger.
No. Yeah.
But he lived in Indiana.
But did he work for the government?
He was... He was the one that we worked for the library. He worked for the county library or something.
Yeah.
As the janitor and then the janitor. Truck driver. Yeah. Or truck driver and then janitor. Yeah. So I think she thinks it's Michael, the one that is in Indiana. But how?
I mean, maybe it was. And maybe John's body just got stuck under something or. Like you said, he fled, she died, and he got afraid, and he ran away.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, it was very easy to disappear back then.
Yeah, it was a lot easier than
it is now.
Literally,
you just had to go, 100 miles away and change your name, and then you were disappeared.
Yeah, yeah. It was a lot easier back then.
Yeah.
That's true. But, yeah, so Amy's talking about him burying and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, it sounds to me like we got to dig up that basement.
I don't know, though, because when you dig stuff up, then it could intensify.
Yeah, I suppose. I suppose.
I don't know if I would do that.
So the sketch
reminds me of, it seems very Grim Reaper-y.
Yeah. I mean, the guy is wearing a big long cloak. He's got a hat. Mm-hmm. He's holding a shovel.
It's a very good sketch.
It's a really good sketch. Yeah. The artisan in Ohio.
Uh-huh.
Very good.
On it.
Very good. This is a really, really cool picture.
Uh-huh.
It's very creepy.
It is.
It's very cool. And it's showing the basement and that, you know, like the fresh earth that's been.
There's even a headstone with flowers.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Like you wouldn't, if you're hiding someone in the basement, you wouldn't make a headstone, put flowers on it.
Here's where the dead body is. And I have this beautiful headstone.
Yeah, it's right here in case you want to dig.
Yeah. And I put flowers. So this is where she is.
So they talk about Kingston a little bit. Mm-hmm. Oh, and Steve goes, who are these dead kids that he might be talking to?
Yeah.
And she thinks that he might be perceiving the older couple as the two friendly children. Mm-hmm. And then the other, the bad kid
mm-hmm.
as the killer.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was interesting because I thought maybe those kids that he was talking to were kids that died in the fire.
Yeah.
But now we find out that the kids in the fire, has nothing to do with this.
Yeah.
I don't know why we spent so much time talking about the fire.
This reveal was all over the place.
It was
all over the place.
And I have no idea who the ghosts really are.
Right. And I wonder if, and we would have to watch more episodes from this time. But I wonder if this is when they really started to butt heads.
Oh.
And it's being reflected in the show.
Possibly.
Because normally their reveals are tight. Like he says something and she'll corroborate it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe this is when they started to really, the dissent was growing.
Yeah. Could be.
I don't know.
So Amy tells them what they need to do. They get to get a male medium who's a practicing Catholic. And then she says, Michaela can move in once this is done and with her child, and she'll be fine. And they, that sense of relief when they realize that it's not, they don't have to leave.
Like that, you could, you know, see their bodies relax.
It was so crazy. Mm-hmm. And they were like laughing. And even Amy, you could tell that she was like, felt like she had help because she had helped them, and then she felt better. And then they show Steve, and I have never seen Steve laugh and smiling like that.
He was very excited.
I was like, who is this?
Yeah. You got a Steve thing in this episode.
He was real cute in this episode, I gotta say.
Okay. I would love that for you.
I mean, just on the surface.
Yeah.
Just on the surface.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're renovating the basement. They show the video at the end, the follow-up. They don't have the end cards. They just show the video. Mm-hmm. And she says, we did everything that you put together for us, and it worked.
Yep.
And as you can see, and they show the back, that they are getting ready to move into the basement. Mm-hmm. And they've been renovating it. And I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
But apparently, Michaela says she feels 100% comfortable, and it's because of you guys, so thank you.
That's really sweet, yeah.
Yeah.
I love it when they have a happy ending.
I do, too. I thought this was cool.
All right, what do you got for us in research and rabbit holes?
It's time for research and rabbit holes, where the facts get weirder and the ghosts get louder. Okay, research and rabbit holes. Not a whole lot. However, one thing I want to note.
Rabbit holes, not a whole lot.
Rabbit hole. I did get into a rabbit hole. I won't even get into it here.
Sure.
I'll just gloss over it because I spent like an hour digging through the archives.
Yeah.
And I didn't need to do any of that.
She sent me ring shots and I was like, what's happening?
Here's my ring.
She did,
So I just noticed a bunch of things that were really interesting, like connecting all three of these episodes together.
Oh,
not just that they're all in Ohio.
Yeah.
Oh. So they're all houses of women.
Oh.
Mom, sister, and child. Although in one of them, the child was a boy and the other was.
And this one had a boy child too.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yep. Yep. All three involved mother and daughter. No husbands. Three were afraid for their daughter's child. Brittany had a daughter that she didn't want to bring into the house anymore.
Yep.
Maggie was afraid for Nathan, and Michaela was worried about bringing her little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And then Brooke, Michaela's mom, also feeling worried about Novi.
Yeah.
So then in history, episodes 2 and 3 of our three both had fires in which several children died. And then 1 and 2 both featured spirits that were in the printing business when they were alive.
Right. Yeah.
The cult guy and the
Lewis.
Yeah. Yep.
From last week.
Lewis. Yep.
Interesting.
And then, as we've already noted, of our three episodes, 1 and 2 had the same sketch artist.
Yep.
And in the outcome.
And Mary Jamba came back.
That's right. Mary Jamba was in 2 of them. And then the outcome in all 3 of these episodes, they did what Amy suggested and the activity stopped.
Woohoo!
So there's a lot of things that I thought were kind of cool that they ran through about that. The house and the client. I did find the house and the client, but I didn't. There was nothing like earth shattering.
Do they still live there?
I don't think. Wait a minute. Yes. Let's see. The last time the house was sold was 2021. So this one came out in 2023. So they probably still live there. It wasn't sold after this. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they probably still live there.
Well, that's
which
good.
Is why. I don't want to say too much about the house.
Yeah.
And then the Hartmans. I already said this, that Romania's where Kid Can was from. And then he was a bootlegger as well.
Yeah.
And then they talk about the mother that the men that the two brothers that came here and wanted to live there with their mother.
She was widowed young.
Yeah. And they never said her name. If they did, they cut it. But her name was Agneta.
Oh.
I found her.
I like that name.
And so I was looking at the article and I'm like, it says the address of the house in the article. And I was like, I could see that it was blurred out, but I could still, now that I know the address of the actual house, I'm like, it's not like that because the number of letters is wrong. But then I'm like, oh, duh, because this was in Indiana. Not in Ohio.
Yeah, not in Ohio.
So then I'm like, why the fuck did they even bring it up? Anyway.
Yeah, this was the clients I enjoyed. I really liked the clients, but I thought like it kind of was, it almost had the feel of a newer season. Like they didn't really know what they were doing. They were just trying to fill time because.
You mean like an early season?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it just wasn't connected the way it normally was.
Yeah, it was weird. And you're right. It might have been the Discord between. Yeah. Our stars.
Yes.
Yes.
Your future husband.
You're not
I'm totally kidding, you guys. I'm so kidding.
When we started this, you had a crush on Steve.
I did. I did. He was so cute. There. And well, he was like, because he gave the hankies and he was caring. And
he was so cute with kids.
And he was so cute. I mean, he still is good with kids. Like, yes. He hasn't lost that. But
right.
He was just so, like, sweet, and even though he didn't believe in it, he still was open.
Yeah.
But yeah. Then he just turned me off. So
yeah.
Sorry,
Steve. I know you were really hoping that you might have a chance with Megan.
The chance with me is gone.
Nope.
So do not hang your hat on that, my friend. Nope, because we are donezo.
Donezo. This is the rabbit hole I went down. When I was searching John Hartman, Ohio, mm-hmm. I found a John Hartman in Ohio, but it's current. I could not find the old
probably
one.
Probably not him.
It's not him. I could not find the old one.
Although he was from Transylvania, so there's a so you're he saying
might,
there's
he
a
might
chance.
Still be alive. No, he's someone that died of kidney disease.
Yeah, that's right.
Which I do have some.
Literally
stuff on
in
him.
The episode that we just talked about.
But anyway, I found a story about how the East Cleveland Police Department. Woo, doggy. It's a hot mess.
Currently?
Yeah. A bunch of their police officers have been sent to prison in the last couple of years for horrible things they did on the job. And I just kept getting into it. I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I put it all in here. You can read it if you want. I'll put some links to what maybe I'll put it in a blog post or something. But
yeah,
it's pretty hideous. And then by the time they were done doing all of the investigation on this police department, 17 officers were found guilty.
God.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it's not great. But anyway, that's not the John Hartman that's in the story. And then I have a We Are Not Doctors segment.
Nice. My favorite.
John Hartman, they said he suffered for 10 years with kidney disease. I looked that up to see what that might be like.
Yeah.
Key indicators are fatigue, persistent itching.
Where?
Foamy, all over, I guess.
Okay.
Foamy or bloody urine.
Cool.
Swelling in the ankles and feet. Edema. Nausea, reduced urine output, and high blood pressure. And the advanced stages cause shortness of breath, muscle cramps, and difficulty sleeping.
March is Kidney Cancer Awareness Month.
Oh, is it?
So, yeah.
Oh, there's a lot of things that came together. Mm-hmm. So I noticed on Susanna.
Probably John's Susanna.
Wife.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably Susanna. I don't know. His other wife was Johanna. So who knows? Maybe it's Susanna. Oh. Anyway. Anyway, she died of, I looked at her death certificate they showed.
Yeah.
And it said lobar pneumonia, L-O-B-A-R. And I'm like, I've never heard of that. So I Googled it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a severe, often bacterial infection
causing
intense inflammation and consolidation in one or more lung lobes.
Which sucks because bacterial means it could have been cured if they'd had antibiotics.
Right. It causes high fever, cough, chest pain, and difficulty breathing, which is interesting that kidney disease does too.
Mm-hmm.
Husband and wife both had that. Treatment involves antibiotics and, in severe cases, hospitalization. The disease progresses through four stages: congestion, red hepatization, gray hepatization, and resolution. I didn't dig into all of that.
Yeah.
Congestion, I know.
Yeah.
Red hepatization, I mean, HEPA's blood.
Blood.
So I assume that's, the lungs changing.
Maybe your red blood cell count increase. I don't know.
But then it says gray. So that tells me the lungs went from red to gray.
Let me ask my friend who's a doctor and see if she knows.
Okay.
All right.
We'll get back to her. We'll get back to that when she gets back to you.
Hold.
So then I looked up Molly Pedalinker.
Sure.
Nothing. Couldn't find anything.
Whoa.
Nothing about it. The story even happened. And nothing on newspapers.com, but they don't have a lot of Ohio papers. So I Googled it too. I even Googled the headlines of all the stories. So then I Googled drowning in Euclid Beach, 1928. And it says, while 1928 was a significant year for other reasons in the Cleveland area, no drowning incident for that specific year was indexed.
So she wasn't, it wasn't even recorded.
So it wasn't even recorded. I don't know. So then we talk about the age of consent.
Uh-huh.
I did Google this and I could not, it kept telling me to look at websites and I'm like, no, just fucking tell me.
Yeah.
So I went to Morgan and I said, what was the age of consent in 1928? It was 16 and she was 15. So it says
technically illegal, but again, it was done.
People did it.
Like it was accepted because what else was she going to do?
Yeah.
Go to college? Right. I mean, honestly, if she was still in school, that would have been a miracle.
Yeah. So Morgan wrote up this little thing for me to read. In the 1920s, most Midwestern states had finally raised the age of consent to 16, thanks to reform movements that were trying to stop the exploitation of young girls. And when I say finally, I mean because those reforms in some states had age of consent as low as 10 or 12 years old. That's horrifying.
And it's 2026 and we're still fighting child marriages.
Yeah.
So it hasn't improved.
No.
And again, I will say this until the cows come home. You need to take a look at people who want to keep or lower the age of consent.
Absolutely.
Because why?
Yeah. So yes, it would have been illegal for a 22-year-old man and a 15-year-old girl.
Yep.
Now that's assuming they're having sex. Maybe they weren't. And then the fire at the school, it still does hold the record for the worst fire in a school in American history. And it, I did find that while in 1937, the New London School explosion in Texas had a higher death toll, estimated at 296 to 319.
Holy shit.
I know. It's generally classified as an explosion rather than a conventional fire. So this Lakeview School still, or Collinwood School, it's the same thing, is still does hold the record. All right. Should we get back to what your friend said?
Yep. So she says, during gray hepatization, the young parenchyma takes on a grayish color and liver-like consistency due to the accumulation of fibrin. The gray color results from the disintegration of red blood cells and the predominance of fibrin and leukocytes, while the reduced vascularity contributes to the loss of the red appearances. So you were right. And the lungs turn gray.
Most of those words I don't understand, but I think I get that part.
I don't either. But basically, it just says that it's just like the lungs turn gray because of accumulation of fibrin and the loss of red. So the gray color results from the disintegration of red blood cells.
Okay. So red blood cells keep it red.
Yeah. And then, yeah. Okay.
Okay. So like we said, we're not a doctor.
Her How
friend
dare
is.
You?
But
yeah, my friend is my bestie, but I'm going to send you a picture. My friend just sent me of the stages of pneumonia and it includes all of those stages.
Oh,
it has
okay.
the congestion, red hepatization, gray hepatization, and resolution.
Oh, awesome. Okay.
So I will send it to you.
Oh, good. Thank you. Tell her thank you. I'll put it in the blog post. And
she says, I don't deal with this much. My patients are always alive when I care for them.
So that, yeah, I suppose you wouldn't see. I mean, well, he was alive when he was being treated for that. If he was being treated, I assume he was. But who knows? Anyway.
But they would only be able to tell the color of the lungs from either an autopsy or operation.
Yeah, that's true.
And I'm assuming back in whenever the 30s, they're not operating on her.
No.
Well, I wouldn't assume that, but they did in Dances with Wolves, and that was the Civil War. So.
Oh.
They operated on people because Kevin Costner held a branch in his mouth when he was trying to get his boots on because he didn't want him to take his foot. How do I know this but don't have fucking math?
Yeah. You have math. You have math today. I saw that movie a long time ago, like when it came out, but not since. So I don't remember that at all.
I cried so hard in that movie at the end. Oh, really? My God. It was when he's, yeah. Oh, my God. It's such a good, when he's yelling, his, the, indigenous friend that he made is yelling at him, and he says, "Don't you know that you are my friend and you will always be my friend?" Because when he first arrived there, that same man yelled at him and was like, "Don't you know you're an outsider and you'll never be one of us?" And then when he and his wife were riding to try to educate the white people on the indigenous people, he's yelling at him like, "Don't you know you are always my friend?" I cried so hard. I cry easily, you guys.
Yeah, so do I.
Anyways, I'm so sorry. Was...
No, that's
tangent.
Okay.
I'm sorry, guys.
One thing I wanted to... I did touch on this last time. Our listener, Patrick, who listens to us on Spotify.
What's up, Patrick?
And he... Hi, Patrick. Shout out. And he said, you know, shout out to his home state, Ohio.
Right.
And he said that he wondered if Kent State was haunted. So
yes.
Up to the Googs, I went. And there is a website called Trip 101 that lists Kent State University as one of its top 10 most haunted places in Ohio.
For sure.
So I did dig a little deeper on that. And
I feel like a lot of universities are haunted.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. There's a lot of death. Yeah.
Well, there's a website. I'll put a link to it. But there is a story about a ghost of a woman named Judith Kuntz.
Sure.
Who reportedly haunts Kuntz Hall.
Uh-huh. Like, what a
coincidence. But it was named for her. She was a student who died in the summer of 1958 at age 23 while trying to save an 11-year-old girl who was drowning in the Little Miami River. I do have a ghost story from Kent State.
Let's hear it.
That I found
Sorry,
on this
Patrick.
Website. That's okay. So this is called A Dark Night in the Kiva. The Kiva is an auditorium.
Okay. Ooh, and auditoriums are always super scary anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there's a lot of emotion in them, you know, because there's acting and I'm lifting this from the Kent State University website. So you can go and read this story. Greg Evans is a housekeeping supervisor in the university facilities management. He began working for Kent State in 1994, working 7 years at the Kent Student Center and 21 years in his current position.
Wow.
It was while he was working at the student center in the early 90s that Evans had his encounter with the unknown. He was working at night, checking to make sure freezers were working, doors were locked, and that no one was in the building. He entered a long hallway on the second floor leading to the Kiva. The hallway was completely dark. Now, this is a quote. "I saw a figure as brilliant white as could be. It was floating in the air. I rubbed my eyes and it was still there.
Oh my
gosh. I backed
gosh.
Up slowly, rubbed my eyes again, and it was gone," Evans said.
Was
this
he
is another
boozing?
Quote. Yeah. He probably was boozing. Needless to say, it was daylight before I went down that hallway again.
I would never have gone down that hallway again, so he's braver than me.
When he returned to the Kiva the next morning, he saw no signs of entry or anything out of place. He said, "I don't know what it was, but it sure was creepy."
Yep. I agree.
Yeah. So that's all I got.
Yeah. That was a good one.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody. Hope you enjoyed that
Thanks
episode.
For listening. Hope you enjoyed it. We enjoyed it.
Yeah. I will see you next time.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Activity Continues podcast. We really appreciate you giving us your ears for a bit. Please feel free to drop us a note and say hi. And join us next time when the activity continues.
Nailed it.
The Activity Continues is produced by me, Amy, at Collected Sounds Media, and is part of the independent Collected Sounds Podcast Network.